Jared Ripmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where we're recording the Diz Dads podcast, episode number 36. Tonight, we're continuing our My Walt Disney World series, inspired by threads that Nathan Trent posted on the message boards about what things come to your mind when you think about each Walt Disney World theme park. Tonight, we continue our quest to determine which is the single best, most important, maybe the word is quintessential, Walt Disney World experience for us as Diz Dads. With me tonight to take on this task are Mark Pratt.
Good evening, everybody.
Nathan Trent.
Howdy.
Jason Knox.
Hello, everyone.
And Diz Dads podcasting rookie, Joe Masters.
Good evening, everybody.
Now, before we get on to the tournament, I do want to take 1 minute and remind everybody about the first ever Diz Dads convention that's coming up January 10th through 14th, 2013. Yes, we know, that's marathon weekend. We're working with our podcast sponsor, Fairytale Journeys, and thanks to that partnership, we've been able to arrange some really great resort rates for the convention at All-Star Movies Resort, Port Orleans Riverside, and the Wilderness Lodge. If you're interested in joining us, contact a Fairytale Journeys by Diz Dads agent today. You'll find us listed at DizDads.com. Any of us would be happy to help get you booked with our group. There are a limited number of rooms available at each resort at these discounted rates. Once they're booked up, they're gone. It's time to move on to our tournament. Now, by now you know the drill. This is the fourth of our introductory rounds. But just to recap briefly, Nate generated a list of 64 Walt Disney World experiences, rides, shows, restaurants, even in some cases just unique sense impressions. And those were gleaned from the My Walt Disney World threads on the boards. He then took those experiences and seeded them along a 64-spot S-curve, just like the NCAA Tournament Committee does it, only Nathan wasn't holed up at a, you know, Hyatt in Indianapolis. Now, for ease of reference, we've divided these attractions or experiences into four groups. The Mickey, Pluto, and Donald groups we've already kind of gotten an introduction to. Tonight, we're going to tackle the Goofy group. We'll be doing these podcasts on a weekly basis, at least through the summer, and hope you all will kind of come along for the whole ride. So, gentlemen, you know the drill here. I'm going to throw out one of the matchups and call on one of you to take the lead on it. And we'll just see, you know, how the voting breaks down. We'll ask one person for their opinion, and they'll give us a winner. We'll see if there's any argument about that winner. If there's no argument, then we'll have one of those attractions advance. If there is some argument, we'll hash it out, take a vote, see who goes on. Everybody clear?
Check.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
All right. So first up tonight is going to be Nathan Trent. And Nate, you're going to get our 1-16 matchup. Number one seed Muppet Vision 3D from Hollywood Studios, facing off with the Magic Kingdom special event, Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party.
Hmm. Interesting matchup. I would vote for Muppet Vision 3D because I have yet to experience the Halloween party, although it looks very awesome.
Okay. So does anybody want to argue with Nate's selection of Muppet Vision 3D over Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party?
Yeah, I would contest that. We've been to the Not So Scary Halloween Party a couple times now, and it's been an absolute blast every time that we go to it. And, you know, we always had fun going to that. We always dress up. Last year we went as Jedis, and I went as a fat, retired Han Solo. And, it's a lot of fun because, you know, you have the special fireworks where they, you know, they do, it's one of the few times a year they do the perimeter fireworks, and that's pretty cool. And then they have the trick-or-treating spots throughout the park, which is pretty neat as well. And everybody dresses up. I mean, almost everybody you see is in costume. And we even saw a full-on Chewbacca there and got a picture with him and all that stuff. And it was just had a good time. And it, like I said, it's always a blast the two times that we've gone to it. And the ride lines are short, you know, so it's a pretty cool experience. And I'm a Muppet of a man, so we're going with the Halloween party.
Well, now, see, Mark, I think I've really been conflicted about this matchup ever since I saw it come up on the bracket, and I think I have to agree with you. Even though the Halloween party is only available for a limited period of time, and you know, just a week ago I was saying that was a strike against the Osborne Family Lights. Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party is such a unique event, and it really takes over the whole park. It's not just the rides lines are short. It's not just getting to ride costume or getting to wear costumes. It's things like, you know, all of the extra characters that are in the park and the availability of those characters. You know, the kids really enjoy getting to meet them. The whole festive atmosphere in the park during the party, the unique photo opportunities with the hitchhiking ghosts and the villain characters that you don't normally see, the villain show. But to me, the one thing even more than everything else that sets Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party apart, it's the parade. The Boo to You parade, which starts with the Headless Horseman. Yep. It's my favorite parade. I love it. And, you know, we've now been to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party the last 2 years in a row. We're not going to make it back this year. And my kids are already complaining. So I think based on all of that, you know, if I were to get a vote, and, you know, we know I only get one if this is a tie. If I get a vote, it's probably Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party for me. So anybody want to toss in their 2 cents on either Mickey's Not So Scary or the Muppet Vision show?
I'm going to agree with Nate, but I'm kind of one-sided with it too, because I also have not been to the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. The thing I've got to go with though is, you know, it's an extra cost to get in. It is a limited time, so it kind of limits some of the people on if they're going to be able to go to it. So to me, I guess that kind of hinders that experience a little bit.
Okay, and Joe, did you have something you wanted to add?
Yeah, I'm just kind of going to jump on Jason and Nathan's bandwagon, and I haven't experienced either. I mean, what you guys are describing sounds really great, but I haven't had that chance to experience it firsthand either. So I'm going to have to go with Muppet Vision 3D as well.
Well, and, you know, I don't want to make this sound like, you know, Muppet Vision, you know, advances just sort of by default, because it is a pretty outstanding attraction. I mean, it's a number one seed because it was mentioned immediately when Hollywood's Studios was the subject of the My Walt Disney World threads. It seems to be
everybody voted for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that everybody enjoys. It may not be, you know, I know for me, I was just a second ago, you know, stumping for the Halloween party, which I think is a terrific opportunity, terrific experience. I also don't pass up an opportunity to see Muppet Vision 3D. You know, I guess I think we're seeing the weakness of a limited time event for this kind of a contest. So, all right, let's go around and do a quick vote. I think we know what the answer is, but Nate, why don't you cast the first vote?
Muppet Vision.
And Jason?
Muppet Vision.
Joe?
Muppet Vision.
And I guess, Mark, it doesn't matter what you think.
I know, I got to be the oddball.
All right, so over Mark's objections, Muppet Vision 3D advances. And we move to our 8-9 matchup, always a challenging matchup. And, oh gosh, Nate, I'm sorry, I should have thrown this one at you, but I'm sure we'll hear from you on this subject. Mark, for the 8-9 matchup, you have two Magic Kingdom attractions, Space Mountain and Mickey's PhilharMagic.
You know, we hadn't even experienced Mickey's until just a couple trips ago, and that was, you know, a pretty cool experience. It was a great, you know, attraction with, you know, the smells and, you know, the water spraying in the face, the whole bit. It's a really, really cool little thing that a lot of people don't know about. You know, the lines aren't too bad that often, and it's just a really neat attraction. But you know, Space Mountain, I mean, you can't beat a good roller coaster, you know, that you're afraid to put your hands up in the air afraid they might get chopped off. And especially with, you know, the new things that they've, the improvements that they've done to it with the queue line, you know, with the interactive queue line that they have now, as well as the, you know, you get your picture taken on it now as well. And it's a better experience, I think, of the two. Definitely Space Mountain.
All right, Nate, do I even have to ask?
Well, you know, Mickey's Feel Hard Magic is my favorite. So, yeah, I mentioned in an email earlier this week that this was going to be a tough matchup for me because I really love both of these attractions, and Mickey's my favorite.
Well, make the case for Mickey. Tell us why it is that it's your favorite and it's more deserving of advancing in this tournament than Space Mountain.
It's the best 3D show on property. That is one thing for it. You know, the story. Yeah, I'm a big Donald fan as well. And it's the fact that Donald gets to fly in this movie. and just some of the scenes they use. It's just a great experience overall.
Well, and, you know,
it tugs at heartstrings, I guess.
One of the things that it's easy to forget is, you know, Space Mountain does have a 40-inch height requirement. And Mickey's Feel Hard Magic is something that, you know, everyone can enjoy. It's one of those attractions that even toddlers can go in and have a lot of fun with. And, you know, one of my favorite things while sitting in Feel Hard Magic is, you know, watching those three-year-olds try to reach out and grab a musical instrument.
The one that gets me every time is when the Little Mermaid's cavern just opens up and she spreads those jewels out.
Yep.
Gets me every time.
All right. Well, based on the arguments we've got, let's go ahead and take a vote. Mark, I'm going to assume that your vote is Space Mountain. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
And Nate's vote would be Feel Hard Magic?
Yes, sir.
All right. So, Joe, who do you side with?
I'm going to have to go Space Mountain on this one for the nostalgia.
Okay. And Jason, how about you?
I'm going to agree with Nate on this one. It's more, you know, it's more for the family. It's the lines aren't usually that long for it. And it's got Donald, you know, that's my favorite character. So,
all right. So the
one, sorry.
That's all right. So the Donald fans are going to drop this one into my lap because we've got a 2-2 tie. Space Mountain and Feel Hard Magic. It's a tough call for me, but after hearing all of the arguments here on both sides, I think ultimately I have to come down and Space Mountain is going to squeak by, because even my four-year-old loves Space Mountain. It was the first, you know, roller coaster attraction that he rode that he immediately said he loved it and wanted to do it again. The others, it took some time for him to warm up to. So, based on that, I have to agree. Space is a classic attraction. It's present in all of the Disney parks, and it's there for a reason. So, Space Mountain advances, squeaking past Feel Hard Magic and holding seed.
Quintessential, gentlemen. Quintessential.
It all started with a mouse.
All right.
And a duck.
Let's see, next up I think we're going to give the newbie a chance, and Joe, this is an interesting Epcot matchup pitting Le Cellier, arguably the most popular restaurant in Epcot, against the broader concept of drinking around the world and experiencing the alcohol delights from all of the various countries.
Wow, what a way to break a guy in, huh?
Couldn't give you an easy one.
Yeah, as a newbie, I'll honestly say I haven't eaten at the Le Cellier Steakhouse, so that's going to be a tough call, but it does sound good. And I haven't experienced a lot of the drinking around the world. I've done a few, but not the full tour of the world. Because typically I have my daughter with me, and, well, that's just not the parental thing to do.
Right.
But being a guy holding my man card, I'm going to throw drinking around the world as probably my first experience I want to definitely go to and accomplish. Maybe we can pull that off at DDC.
I think that's a plan.
So that'll be my vote.
So we have one vote for drinking around the world. Do we have anybody who wants to speak up for Le Cellier?
A. I love Le Cellier, but it's got one of the best steaks you can get, you know, at Disney World, period. The food there is amazing. So, yeah, if you haven't experienced it, Joe, you definitely got to make that one of your top priorities. It is, it's the haven for meat when it goes to Epcot. So I'm going with Le Cellier.
All right. So we have a divided panel here. We've heard the arguments on each side. Let's go ahead and take our vote. We've got one vote from Joe for drinking around the world. We have one vote from Mark for Le Cellier. Nate, what say you?
I say Le Cellier. Cheese soup and pretzel bread, too, along with those steaks. Great stuff.
All right. And Jason, where do you come down on this one? Am I getting another one tossed in my lap?
No, I'll go Le Cellier on this one, too.
Okay. So Le Cellier, against a spirited but limited opposition, advances and holds its number 5 seed off against the number 12 Drinking Around the World. I do have to say, had it gone to me, I think Drinking Around the World might have squeaked past, mostly on the strength of a couple of really good experiences at La Cava del Tequila. If you haven't tried it, I highly recommend it. Great atmosphere, really knowledgeable and friendly bar staff, and they know their product and they sell good stuff. Okay, and so next up we have Jason. And Jason, you get one of the more dichotomous matchups of this tournament. You get the number 4 seed Dinosaur in Animal Kingdom versus the number 13 Walt Disney World Railroad in the Magic Kingdom.
Well, you know, I'm really going to have to go with an upset on this one and go for Walt Disney World Railroad. It has to do with availability to the people. Dinosaur is a good ride. I like it myself, but it's not for everybody. I brought my sons on it the last time we went, and they refused to ever ride it again. So I'm going to go with Walt Disney World Railroad.
Okay. Do we have anybody who's willing to speak up for Dinosaur? None of you are going to do it than I am. I got to tell you, I was nervous about taking my youngest on Dinosaur. He is a huge Dinosaur fan, but, they had that touring exhibition of the great big huge Dinosaur animatronics that spent a good chunk of time here in Kansas City, and we went out to see it a couple of times, and each time he would kind of get into it and really enjoy it and then get spooked and kind of run from it. And so I was sure that, we were going to get on Dinosaur and halfway through he was going to freak out and want to be off of it. But I'm telling you that the combination of, the kind of cheesy storyline, but storyline nonetheless, and amazing animatronics make up for it being a really kind of, bone-jarring ride. And overall, it is classic Disney. It is Imagineering at its finest, telling a great story in an immersive atmosphere. And I'll never forget, as soon as we got off the ride, the first words out of my then 4-year-old son's mouth were, "Well, it's a good thing we survived." So that's my vote for Dinosaur. But it sounds like I'm the only one in favor of Dinosaur. So unless somebody else speaks up, I'm just going to go ahead and advance Walt Disney World Railroad.
Yeah, Aaron, the only reason I want this one gone is because there's not many rides that, you know, finger quotes, scare you at Disney World. This one gets me every single time. And I don't know what it is. I know where they're coming at me. I know where it is. But I'm telling you, I there's parts of it where I just close my eyes and just go along for the ride because I know what's coming. And I don't like it. So, and I'm a huge train fan. I love trains. And so, you know, being on one of, you know, Walt's favorite rides as well, because he loved trains as well, as I definitely go with the railroad.
All right. So Walt Disney New World Railroad pulls off the big 13-4 upset. And we come back around to Nate for his vote. This is sort of interesting. We have now number three, Splash Mountain, facing off with sort of the more laid-back version of Drinking Around the World, the number 14 seed, Walking Around World Showcase.
This is no contest for me. It's got to be Splash Mountain. That is my second favorite attraction. I mean, it's just a great ride. You know, it's part dark ride, part thrill ride. It's just cool. I wish I could get my hands on the movie.
So, is anybody gonna speak up for the laid back walk around World Showcase, or does Splash Mountain get the walk over here?
I think Splash Mountain gets it, especially with the pictures that we get on Splash Mountain. It definitely goes.
Splash, yeah, for sure.
All right, I figured that. So Splash Mountain advances against the relaxed walk around World Showcase, and we come back around to Joe for an interesting matchup here. The number 6, Tower of Terror, versus number 11, Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin.
Okay, this one's going to pull a little punch in my man card, because I've never done Tower of Terror because I'm terrified of the falling. So as the chicken I am in me, I do enjoy Buzz Lightyear. My daughter and I both enjoy it, and I think a lot of people do, because it's the family ride that allows you to get competitive. So my vote is definitely Buzz Lightyear.
All right. Anybody want to argue with Joe?
I'll speak up.
Okay.
I'm not afraid to speak up. I like Buzz Lightyear. It's a fun ride, but you know, the elusive, you know, 10,000, 100,000 little secret ones that you can find, I still haven't found those, and it's irritating. Yeah. I tell you, the Tower of Terror though, it's something else. We got some great video of Josh on it the first time he rode it. And you know, just the expressions that come across people's faces when those doors open up and you can see the whole entire park in front of you before you plummet. It is something else. We rode it, I think it was 5 times in a row our last day that we were there. So yeah, it's definitely one of our family's favorites, and the whole family. The first time the youngest rode it, he got off it, and I said, "How do you like it? Was that cool?" He said, "That was cool, Dad." I said, "You ready to go on again?" "Nope." So, yeah, it kills me. It's hilarious. We like it a lot, and you know, my son always tries to scare us, and he'll always, and he just laughs his butt off. So yeah, we like that ride.
Yeah, you know, this one's a tough one for me, because this is basically, you know, my daughter's favorite ride in Hollywood Studios matched up against my son's favorite ride in the Magic Kingdom. So it's a tough call. And for me, what gives Tower of Terror, to me at least, an edge is the really incredibly immersive theming. I got to say that, you know, Buzz Lightyear is really showing its age these days. It's looking kind of cardboard cutout-ish. It's in need of an upgrade, and I think that it needs something to keep it in a position of being, you know, a top ride, a top experience of Walt Disney World.
Yeah, since Toy Story Mania has come out, it's made Buzz Lightyear look really old.
It just kind of makes it look rinky-dink.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's go ahead and take a vote. We've got a vote from Mark for Tower of Terror. We've got a vote from Joe for Buzz Lightyear. Nate, what say you?
I say Tower of Terror, like you said, the immersive thing, and that thing start work starts working on you as you're walking down Sunset there. Yeah, and you see that thing looming down at the end of the street, and you know where you're going, and saying, why?
Exactly.
All right, Jason, how about you?
Well, I'm going to go with the majority with Tower of Terror. It's one of my favorites. Now that I've got my boys to finally ride it, it's one of their favorites too. And, you know, the theming, I think, is better on it. Like you said, Buzz Lightyear needs an update. Tower of Terror, even the cast members get into that one. I mean, I think that's probably one of the best ones for cast members, actually.
Yeah, I think so, too. Okay, so next up is Joe. And, Joe, you get an Animal Kingdom face-off between number 7 seed, Rafiki's Planet Watch, and, surprisingly low, in my opinion, number 10 seed, Finding Nemo the Musical.
Rafiki's Planet Watch. I haven't done that one this past year or the year before. It's been a while. But the Finding Nemo musical we experienced this past time, and for me, I'm going to have to go with almost a daughter vote because I know we've watched that movie numerous times over, and we quote the movie all the time. To me, that's the definitive I'm having a good time with my daughter show. I'm going to have to go with Finding Nemo on that one.
All right. Anybody going to speak up for Rafiki's Planet Watch?
I would like to, but I really like that Nemo show.
Yeah, you know, I think we're really all in the same boat. Ultimately, Rafiki's Planet Watch, especially the way it's been kind of kept lately, it's not much that you couldn't really find in a decent zoo. And Finding Nemo the Musical is just uniquely a Disney show. So I don't think anybody can fault us with a mild upset here, the 10 upsetting the 7 seed with Finding Nemo advancing over Rafiki's Planet Watch. All right, anybody going to argue there, or do we need to take a vote, or does Finding Nemo move right on?
Nemo.
All right, so Jason, you get our last matchup of the night. And this one is interesting, partially because of the number 15 seed, which is low for this particular attraction. But what we have is number 2 Test Track versus number 15 Peter Pan's Flight.
This one is kind of easy for me, but at the same time, I have a hard time with it. Test Track for me is the winner on this one. I rode Peter Pan's Flight for the first time this last time we were down there. And I guess to me, I was expecting more. I know Test Track has a lot to be desired also, and hopefully they fix that with this update that they're doing to it. But Peter Pan, I think it needed something more. I was expecting a lot more, and I was kind of got off the ride, and it was like we waited in line all this time for that.
Okay. Anybody going to speak up for the classic Fantasyland attraction?
Nope.
I want to, but, you know, he's right. Peter Pan's is kind of eventually going to go to the wayside like some of the other rides, like Mr. Toad's, because it was one of the original rides. It's an older ride, and it's very simple ride, just, you know, touring through the scenic land of what should be Peter Pan. But Test Track is the kind of the new sense ride Disney's been starting to put in the parks, and it's just kind of hard to pass up on Test Track.
Okay. All right. Well, I think I have to agree. You know, it's hard. I do enjoy Peter Pan, and I do think that, you know, Peter Pan's Flight is in many ways one of those great examples of a uniquely Disney attraction. But it's just drawn a tough matchup here because Test Track has become sort of a modern classic. People quote the pre-show constantly. We'll see how much of it survives the refurb. But, you know, the same technology is what's running, you know, a more advanced version of the same technology is what's running the hot new attraction, the Radiator Springs Racers. So I can't really, I'm trying, I'm rambling here, trying to come up with the argument for Peter Pan. And, you know, even as a mild thrill ride, I've never seen Test Track really scare any kids away from wanting to ride it. Frankly, any more than kids get scared, you know, being on Peter Pan and having that sensation of being, you know, suspended in their boat vehicles.
Yeah, I think once Little Mermaid gets in the new Fantasyland there, that Peter Pan is going to look really old for a boy who never grows up.
Yeah, that's probably true. And that's probably true.
I hate to say that because I like Peter Pan, but Test Track's got to win for me.
All right, so Test Track advances. And just to give a recap of this evening's matchups, we had number 1 seed Muppet Vision advancing against Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party. Number 8 Space Mountain advancing over PhilharMagic. Le Cellier advancing over Drinking Around the World. The upset of the night is the Walt Disney World Railroad advancing over Dinosaur. Number 3, Splash Mountain, with an easy matchup over Walking Around in World Showcase. Number 6, Tower of Terror, advancing against Buzz Lightyear. Mild upset, Finding Nemo the Musical over Rafiki's Planet Watch. And finally, Test Track, going ahead unopposed against number 15, Peter Pan's Flight. So, you've just heard what we thought of these matchups. We'd love to hear from you. You can email us at podcast@dizdads.com, visit our website, dizdads.com, tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter, or come and participate in these discussions on our new forums at boards.dizdads.com. And just another note, in addition to all the other ways you can hear our podcast, as of the day we're recording this, DizDad's podcast is also available on Stitcher Radio. So if you're into streaming and you use Stitcher, you can now get DizDad's podcast through Stitcher. Thanks for listening. This is Aaron Rittmaster. With me tonight were Mark Pratt.
Good evening, everybody. Have a great night. Thank you.
Nathan Trent.
Later, everyone.
Jason Knox.
See you all next time.
And Joe Masters.
Good night, everyone. Take care.
Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.
This has been a Wizard of Oz production.